right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Gentlemen, the CDC has declared the Chipotle E. coli scare to be over.
Whoop, there it is.
Somebody's happy.
Me and most of the NBA.
What? Are you okay?
I think they've also announced that they're actually the CDC is going to look into food handling practices at other restaurants. That's so right. Everybody heads up.
That's what you do. You cast aspersions on your competitors after you've been nailed.
You get the government to cast the aspersions for you.
Very quickly.
Well played, yes.
What is that delicious shredded tofu that they make there?
It is called tofu?
No, they have a very special shredded tofu with a...
Has a special
Latino name.
What's the carnitas is the pork. Mm. The barbacoa. No, the barbacoa is the separate.
I think they call it titicaca.
That is a lake.
It is a lake. I'm pretty sure South America. Call it tofu.
No, it has a very special name.
Let's get.
How do you not know this?
Let's get because I eat meat, John.
Chuck's on here. I'm not shredded tofu guy.
I'm not a vegetarian.
So sometimes I pretend to be
sofritas.
Sofritas. Sometimes in front of my old lady, I pretend to be like a quarter vegetarian. You know, like I'm just trying to get back on my meat today.
No, yeah. No, that's your way to your lady's heart. Is pretend you eat your grapefruit.
I just
shovel the grapefruit under the bed.
Yeah, I just look into a cow's eyes and I think, oh, they're solid. Soulful creature.
Speaking of making your lady happy,
it has 7 stomachs and 3 souls.
Listeners, we should know John had been growing a beard to fit in with Chuck and myself. Mm-hmm. It was actually coming along pretty well, as you might have seen in some photos we put on Twitter.
Pretty well?
In the scraggly sense, okay. I thought he was wearing it right. Fair Not right. Everyone has, like, you have a pretty fine, well done, and it's been doctored. I can see the doctoring.
Whatever, grooming.
I'm more of a free flyer.
Yeah. Some would say hobo.
Although technically, I sculpted it to make it this hobo.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Wowie, wowie, wee, wah, wah.
I'm actually getting to the point where my beard forks. I don't know if you've ever...
I think that's cool, though.
Yeah.
It's like a snake's tongue.
It's not perfect. But anyway, dear listener, I'll let you know about John's appearance. Has cut the beard. He's now...
Didn't get that role.
Now combined with the his outfit, his typical John outfit, has a bit of a Hunter S. Thompson...
Meets a lesbian thrift store owner.
I go out with like a lesbian Sherlock Holmes S. Thompson.
So he's got the mustache, a little bit of a flavor saver.
Head. You bet.
And some mutton chops coming down. Head. And I believe you have now found this is the double edged sword when the ladies in your life ask you to shave. Very often our response is, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want us to shave a beard?
I was very vitriolic. I got my Phil Jackson, how's it going? Flavor saver. I got my, who's the guy who played for Miami? Spencer Dinwiddie. Mustache.
Oh, I love Spencer Dinwiddie.
But both of them are blonde and almost indecipherable.
Yours is a little thinner, much like new Phoenix Suns interim coach Earl Watson.
You bet your little nuts. So what I did is I snuck into the bed late at night. And I started rubbing my face on her face. She started purring like a kitten.
Let her know there's no more hair.
And then turn that light on. No shit. 1:30 a.m., she went from being completely asleep to screaming at the top of her lungs, "What is on your face?" I went, "Baby, I thought you'd be so pleased."
But honey, you told me to shave.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. All right, gentlemen, what do we have for breakfast?
Okay, I'm going to be real. I got up late and I didn't have breakfast. However, my first meal of the day was at the wonderful Peg Leg Porker. Over
very
off
nice.
Of 8th Avenue.
That's a downtown Nashville. It's a tourist place because it's right in the heart of everything.
Yeah,
but it's legit.
It's a legit pork establishment. We had a very unimpressed waitress at the bar who wanted nothing to do with us at all.
That is a Nashville specialty.
And
I love the old one. She got pregnant and she's gone. Preggers and gone.
No, that's always the kill shot for a bartender. It's getting pregnant. So we had I had some dry rub ribs, some macaroni and cheese that were really good, and some green beans. It was legit. I had a really great breakfast.
We call that a Tennessee breakfast.
Did you take a look at that whiskey and bourbon list?
I did.
It was spectacular, but there was one of these things was not like the other.
Mm-hmm.
It went something a little like this, like Blanton's, Pappy Van Winkle, insert expensive whiskey here, Fireball. Insert expensive whiskey here.
Dickel White.
I mean, it was the most expensive whiskeys in the world, and then just Fireball.
Well, that's their moneymaker.
Oh, well, we were sitting there with a local bar manager, and he's like, "Oh, if you don't have Fireball, you like literally cannot even survive in this industry."
It's the happiest drunk girl shot.
Yeah, I would say this. It is the least alcoholic tasting.
It
yeah.
is. My parents, who are teetotalers in their new community where they live, they were having some friends over, you know, new friends trying to meet people in the neighborhood. And my dad, when me and my dad would go to basketball games as a kid, he would bring the Ferrera Pan candy fireballs, the atomic fireball, right. You know, the hard candy. And that was like a thing. Mm-hmm. Love them. You know, like that was a thing. Like we're at a game. You'd be like, yeah, you want a fireball?
Yeah.
You know? And also I love candy. but apparently at this point, maybe the word fireball came up and my mom was like, "Oh, we have fireballs." And some lady from the community was like, "Oh, I love fireball. I'd take a fireball." And my mom was relaying this story to me. He's like, "And apparently it's a kind of drink." And so I told him, I'm like, "Mom, it's a liquor that it's a whiskey. Like by some weird definition."
Did she faint into your arms?
No, I just told her, but it tastes exactly like an atomic fireball candy. And that's
That is true.
So that's what it is.
Keith, what did you have?
Oh, I had leftover Chipotle. Nice. I mean, I've been stocking up because of the shutdown.
Sofritas.
Some sofritas.
Told you guys it was real.
I mean, Brett, you know, like Chipotle in the morning. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh my goodness.
Technically, I didn't have a real breakfast.
Rice, beans, chicken? Come on, that's breakfast of champions.
I had macaroni and ribs.
You had dry rub ribs. I had those last night. Man, we're in a rut.
Like most of my meals, I eat them with Chuck, but this morning around 4 a.m., I did something really weird. I decided to get one onion, one shallot, one clove of garlic, put it in my ninja chopper, heat up a pan of oil. 4 a.m., mind you, set off the smoke alarm.
I'm setting up my timeline. This is after you terrified your
lady. She's already super pissed.
yeah. So,
and it's not just any smoke alarm. This is a smoke alarm connected to the damned security system. So it's not just a beep, 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 and the dogs running around.
It's some phone calls and
there's phone calls to my old lady, and a sure enough blessing out. To use the parlance of your parents. And I didn't even get a chance to throw the steak I'd plotted to put in the midst of those shallots, onions, and garlics. So I just threw that stuff in the garbage. And I think I had like a snippet there. Like I definitely cried, onions and otherwise, but pretty bleak breakfast. It's been a bleak.
I would say that this is our whatever episode we're on. This might be our bleakest breakfast. Nary a breakfast food.
It's been bleak around my parts.
A uniquely breakfast
one-off.
Food.
This is a one-off.
I've had 3 days of sobriety in basketball, so it's been pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
you should bleak. Be fully loaded. Speaking of basketball, I guess we could get to it.
Maybe.
Sure.
So after
I tried to do steak and eggs, I was headed towards steak and eggs.
You were.
I never.
You
got
tried
there.
To literally. You never got the egg. Never.
Nor
never.
The steak.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
All right. So after our breakfast, we move into our breakfast in bed. Apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous. Episode. Does anyone have anything that they need to make amends for?
Kyle Singler, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is. I almost brought this up last week.
Did you? Well, we didn't get a chance to get into it because I was so wrong the week before last that I had to ignore Kyle Singler's almost life-changing reversal in his play.
I would say he's become semi-competent.
We called him the worst in the league. His shooting splits before I make this announcement. All of this is gathered, by the way, from Reddit and the wonderful user Thievius Raccoonus, one of the greatest names I've ever heard.
I loved him in The Force Awakens.
Second greatest Reddit name I've ever heard, LaMarc Gasol Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, right. So I
think it was, because if I just said LaMarcus Aldridge, no one would know.
Yeah, so listener, Chuck and John found
LaMarc
out.
LaMarc Gasol.
Yeah. Ridge. Chuck and John found out this week that LaMarcus Aldridge, there's a Marc Gasol hiding in there.
They're
it's
in the
LaMarc
of
Gasol Ridge. So
it all makes sense. The pieces fit.
The pieces fit.
So those are my two favorite Reddit names. But yeah, Thievius Raconis did all this legwork, found out that Kyle Singer was awful, shooting splits of 24, 20, and 50. Since that post, his shooting splits have been 50, 53, and 70, which includes two multi-assist games and eight assists total.
Say what?
Yeah, his PER has climbed from negative 1.6 to 5.2. So
I was
going to
say he was the worst PER in the league, I
believe. He's basically going to be an all-star.
he's heading towards that vaunted 15.
So, yeah, and other than that, he hit a skyhook last week, which is kind of insane.
I did not see that.
Yeah,
highlight.
He hit a skyhook. So, a running skyhook.
His NBA rank is probably heading up towards what, 290?
If he's, you're
288
about,
now?
Talking about.
Is he the player who looks most like a coach's son?
Hmm.
Yes.
JJ Redick.
Besides Mike Dunleavy Jr., of course.
Well, the Dunleavy Jr. who's playing on the Santa Cruz, was in the D League.
Wow. Oof. Hanging on.
Well, no, he's working his way back.
He's working his way back. I believe he got called up to the majors.
Wow. Yeah. When the Bulls get him back, then they're, I guess with Mirotić out, they can have another guy who jacks him. But I mean, that is a cluttered and nightmarish team right now.
The Bulls?
Yeah.
Let's not get distracted.
Not playing well.
We're talking about Kyle Singler and his frosty hair.
So, Cal, I'm sorry for dogging you. You proved me wrong. And yeah, I'll never do that again, or I'll do it next week.
Sounds perfect. John, you have an apology?
I want to apologize to my favorite, absolute favorite mascot in the NBA, the New Orleans Pelicans secondary mascot, the King Cake Nightmare Baby. I don't know how I let that slip that he was back in our lives last week, but I did. I must have had a more important apology to get to, but I'm sorry that I let you get by me, because I do love you. You're like a John Kay drawing from Ren and Stimpy.
The King Cake Baby is... The Pelicans are really embracing it. I mean, it's hilariously terrifying, like purposefully...
They almost killed some poor woman.
Comically terrifying.
They almost killed some poor woman. Have you seen the viral video?
Did they run a gag and it was just too much? It was too real?
I mean, that woman, her knees buckled, and I'm pretty sure I detected an odor.
Did you, have you ever had a king cake and
gotten the baby?
Gotten the baby?
No.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens?
You've had that happen?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
I don't remember. Are you supposed to? You win. You're supposed to have good fortune. What is it?
Do you have an Eric Gordon-esque knee injury?
Are you supposed to have a? Are you supposed to get pregnant? What was it, Chuck?
No. Norris Cole comes to your house and he bakes you a cake. Another one.
Oh,
that's kind of great.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
The more you know.
I like that they. I mean, when their first Pelican came out and was literally the most terrifying thing ever, and then they eventually changed it under pressure. That was an amazing tale of mascots. But now,
how in the hell did they think that mascot was too scary and weird?
No, but,
and then allowed the King Cake Baby.
I think what they did is they're like, this will get people talking. Let's like we have softened our main Pelican mascot, but now let's do a truly kind of Mardi Gras terrifying. Uh-huh.
That damn thing is a garbage pail kid.
It does look like
I was putting my lips together to say garbage pail, and it came out of your mouth. That was
mind blitz.
Oh, that's so
that
great.
Was great. All right, my apology. Well, a couple, I guess, just points of order. I got a couple names wrong last week. One, I was crediting, I believe I said the Twitter user reporter Jim Sheridan. It's Jim Park, but he writes for Sheridan Sports. The Twitter handle might be it's easily mistakable. And also, when I was pointing out that the Grizzlies lead the league by far in the most standstill then shoot jumpers,
right,
wasn't a Seth Partnow article. That was an Ian Levy article.
Oh, Ian Levy from our own Hardwood Paroxysm.
Yes, exactly. And if you're listening to this, if you happen to be listening to this on Podbean, notice we've moved over to Blog Talk Radio to be a part of Hardwood Paroxysm.
Get down on it.
But now that we got that business out of the way,
we sure are talking about screen names a lot.
Yeah.
Reddit names. My favorite Reddit name still is, to this day, YouGay420692006.
Love it.
That's S-E-X. Not six. That's S-E-X. Fun fact, my Reddit name...
That's yours. Oh, I thought you were going to tell us what your Reddit name is. Well, that was your Reddit name. Okay.
I don't know. This is John is thoroughly tickled himself. John is so amused by himself right now. All right. No, my apology. Also, dialing it back 2 weeks ago, like Chuck did with Kyle Singler. I apologize for not knowing that the A-team van had gray in it.
I thought we did that. No, we didn't apologize.
That was personal.
That was me on our text thread shooting you guys shade.
Yeah. So ignored it. So
unfortunately, the A-Team van/Chuck's car is already in the shop.
That is, yeah. I don't want to say not surprising. But when Chuck sent us a picture of a black and red checkered Jeep
Cherokee
that he bought used, I'm like, well, that's
with a lift kit and mud tires and a CB radio antenna on the back.
Lots of plastic.
Also, yeah. Listeners, let it be known that Chuck has to commute a good bit from where he lives.
Like an hour.
So I
drive anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a week.
Whew. Chuck loves it when a plan comes together.
Anyway, so Chuck did again bought a red and black Jeep, and then John was calling it the A-Team vehicle, and he said, "Doesn't the A-Team have gray?" And we didn't think so.
No,
I'm embarrassed because that was one of the few shows that, in my strict upbringing, I was allowed to watch. It was exciting. It was exhilarating. The times you got to watch it.
They didn't have a problem with Face.
Face was the greatest character of all time. Face inspires me every day. He's my best friend.
I think JJ
Face and Higgins for Magnum PI. Do they both have Mike Post theme songs? I'd like to think they do.
I think they probably do. He did most of the 80s.
Mike Post. Him and Jan Hammer.
I like to think that maybe JJ Redick and I had a very similar upbringing, although JJ Redick was homeschooled. But JJ Redick has let his wings fly with that tattoo.
Are you a watch enthusiast? He's a watch enthusiast.
All up and down.
He's into timepieces.
I thought the watch was maybe like a CW miniseries. You actually just mean timepieces?
He's really into them. Like spends more money than I make in a year on watches.
No, I'm not. I don't wear watches.
I have a phone. Yeah, Chuck wears a big gold watch that pisses us off all the time.
Right,
because it usually jangles. When I hit the table, it makes a loud noise.
Go ahead and show him. Give it one more time. They'll know. They'll let him know.
Here it goes.
There it is.
Every episode is Chuck. Takes his watch on and off.
His Flava Flav watch.
Yep. All right. Those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Now for our steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw this week?
The best thing I saw this week is the wonderful LeBron James forgetting how to shoot three-pointers.
I think he's hovering around 30% for the year.
For the year, but recently, over the past 10 games, he's been 4 of 26. In the last four, he's been 0 of 10. And I am just super happy. Anytime LeBron James fails, I, as a Heat fan, just relish in it.
And, he's doing like a reverse MJ.
Yeah. Like he's... like
uncultivating a certain part of his game.
Now into analysis. Watching LeBron for as many years as I did, he is a really smart basketball player, and he's always adjusting his shots, whether it be his three-point shot or his free throw form. And I think he's kind of the way Tiger Woods got after his... You know, I know there hasn't been a thing.
After the got run over by a Jeep chair.
This is getting dark.
What I'm saying is when you...
No turkey unless it's a club.
When you're that kind of athlete, your little changes in your, you know, whatever it is, your swing or your shot.
So what you're saying is he's on Ambien and having sex while he's on Ambien until he...
I didn't say that, but I'm glad you did. Very glad you did because I was going to go there eventually.
It's sad that we didn't podcast maybe after the first Tyronn Lue game where LeBron James was yelling at Tristan Thompson and it seemed like things were falling apart.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was going to be your best.
But unfortunately, we didn't get stopped at that moment. And actually, while he's shooting 0 for 10, they're winning their games, looking pretty good.
Well, I don't care what you say. They already had a players-only team meeting. So that always goes well.
That was just about Kevin Love's Instagram.
Was it?
I have that on very, very high authority.
Yeah, yeah.
For reals?
No.
That makes me think, you know, you need to check out Hardwood Paroxysm. Check out the trade column.
Your trade that you dropped.
Yeah.
Kevin Love for Blake Griffin, straight up?
Who says no?
I love it.
I think
misanthrope
it'll work.
A for misanthrope B.
I think if the Cavs could throw in, unload Andy Varejao's deal on that, you got him.
I thought about putting that in the trade, no kidding. But then I really thought in light of recent events, maybe it was more even than I thought. And
I think it's pretty even, but I feel like the Lakers would want maybe one more thing back.
I think the Lakers
the Clippers. The Clippers would want.
And that's my favorite part of the trade, is just that the Lakers would be so pissed.
They'd be pretty
unhappy. That's their prodigal son.
My steak and eggs this week, Nikola Jokic. He's taken over. Gangbuster, starting to get playing time. He'd shown promise all year, had been making some mistakes, as rookies will do.
You say starting to get playing time, but I'd like to point out the line you're about to throw out, less than 30 minutes.
No, so that's part of it. So I was going to say, so far on this season, The entire season, his per 36, he's averaging 17 points, 11 boards, 3.5 assists, 1.8 steals, and a block. He's 14th in real plus minus.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an easily faked stat.
No.
Like, those are a legit listing of the top players, and then a Jokic stuck in there. He's 16th in PER. His Micah Hankasalo on Twitter points out.
It's not a real name.
It is. He's a great statistician.
420, 69, 2006.
He points out that Jokic and Nerlens Noel are the only rookies in the last 10 years to average 1.8 steals per 36. In just his last 12 games, I think Jokic caught a lot of people's attention when he threw up that 9-assist game. It was the second highest assist total for a center this season behind Mark the Shark.
Mm-hmm.
So since that
I call that a Saboner.
Yeah. since that 9-assist game in his last 12, his per 36, 19 points per game, 5.5 assists, 11 boards, 3 steals and a block. But as you're going to point out, John, or as you, I guess, I tried. I was going to, he's a guy, Jokic is a guy whose per 36 increases the more minutes he gets.
Yeah.
Because he was only getting these 18-minute, 12-minute, 6-minute, and those were hurting his per 36 because he wasn't doing much in that time. But yeah, his most recent game in which the Nuggets shut down the Raptors' franchise record winning streak,
right?
He had 27 points, 14 boards in 30 minutes with the 4 assists.
Well, if you watch him play, and I love to watch him play, he's a field guy, so that he's using the first part of his game to figure out what he can do. It's kind of Gasol-ish. It's kind of if we want to get out of the white guy comparison, Duncan-ish, because Tim Duncan will spend the first quarter figuring out how am I going to beat this guy.
He is so smooth. We're having all these new rookies where, like, I feel like the adjective is smooth. Like, Devin Booker gets a lot of, like, look how smooth he looks on the court.
Right,
and he's a 7-footer. I mean, he's a center. It's blowing my mind that he's a rookie with no real experience, and he can handle it kind of okay.
Right.
He's always looking to pass, and he's finishing. He's shooting 55% from the field. He's also hitting a three. Like, he's averaging making a half a three a game, shooting, I think, 35, 34%. It's blowing my mind. He's like, all of a sudden, Denver has these guys, and he's now one of the brightest stars they have going forward. And it has been, it's definitely my best thing. I've been thinking about my front court of the future. It's like, give me Karl-Anthony Towns and Jokic front court. Maybe Miles Turner, Zinger off the bench.
He's putting poor Zingas on
pretty clogged.
The bench.
I mean, it is very clogged. We have to cut Zinger.
You say smooth. I say, but let's forget about it. My best of the week goes to another big, the one and only DeMarcus Cousins, for sparing the Sacramento Kings a PR disaster and abject humiliation. It is, in fact, the year of the monkey, as it were.
But it also, Chinese calendar year of the monkey.
Correct.
Right.
But it's also February, the Black History Month. The Kings did not notice this confluence of events and decided to pass out purple T-shirts with monkeys emblazoned upon them.
Not great.
DeMarcus Cousins, in his infinite wisdom, pointed out, perhaps using a word that's been pejorative for black people in the past, maybe don't do this.
It ended Howard Cosell.
It sure enough did.
Yeah.
And if it can end Howard Cosell, I mean, he's probably more important and popular than the Sacramento Kings.
Well, it's bad on the Kings for being stupid to put out a shirt on February 1st that could be, even to one person on the planet, construed as racist. But I think it's the best that Boogie Cousins put his foot down and said something wonderful, or actually cared enough to change something in the organization.
I wish I had his actual quote in front of me, but everyone should Google it, because despite his actions on the court, he is a thoughtful, intelligent person.
I think that's the enigma of DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
Is you seem to be such a thoughtful and intelligent person, yet I've seen you on the court.
And you're a jackass.
Yeah, you're a jackass who can't motivate his teammates, who can't play consistently. I'm fired up because I've seen the Kings play some trash basketball in the last, after they'd won a few games.
Right. They had one of the worst games against the Grizzlies.
They did have one of the worst games against the Grizzlies.
But you know, they just had a boogie-less game where they won with Rajon Rondo leading them to victory and making every three-pointer he took. I call that Shangri-La.
Well, that actually can kind of carry into my worst of week, my cream of wheat Worst of week, the Kings beat the Bucks in this game. This boogie-less
game. That's the game I'm referring to.
Exactly. Right. So
4 from 4 from downtown. Onions, Rajon Rondo.
This reminds me that the Bucks, and I'm not going to try to draw any conclusions with the numbers I'm going to throw at you. Okay, I will. Jason Kidd returned to the sidelines with his, he got himself some hip surgery so he could do more of a Phil Jackson, Kevin McHale type walk up and down the sidelines. He, since returning to the Bucks are 1-4, and Chris Middleton, who was on fire under interim coach Joe Prunty, which I believe is not a fictional name. Apparently that is his actual name.
I think that's a part of the lower body. I'm not sure where.
On a fat person?
Maybe in the abdomen area.
I had to turn off my safe search to find out Prunty. So Chris Middleton in the last 5 games since Jason Kidd returned has suddenly shot 32% and only scored 17 points a game while they're going 1-4. Now on the season, the Bucks are 12-22 under Jason Kidd. Under interim coach Joe, this is my real name, Prunty, they were 8-9, and Chris Middleton averaged 23 points per game, which was the 10th best in the NBA. Five assists, 4 rebounds, shot 50% from the field.
Do you think there's any chance that your, some would say fondness, some would say obsession, with Chris Middleton and his sudden resurgence and sudden plummet might lead you to draw poor conclusions about Jason Kidd?
I will admit, if it hadn't been for my obsession with Chris Middleton, I might not have noticed these aberrations. But then I dug into the numbers, and look what the numbers say. Bucks 10 games under 500 with Jason Kidd, who might be trying to orchestrate himself out of that situation into now another one.
Maybe he just wants to find a new team.
I think he wants. There's some openings.
He wants that Vegas team whenever it happens. He wants that casino run.
That's for real.
So my cream of wheat was Draymond Green against the Knicks. You guys are like, what? Yeah, triple-double, didn't miss a shot. Well, he did. He was at the free throw line. And he airballed a free throw.
Get on him, Chuck.
When he had
nitpicked
a
dog.
Dog, you can't do that.
He had a perfect trip dub.
I don't care. It wasn't perfect to me. You're in New York City. You're in Mecca basketball. You're going to airball a free throw. You barely touched the net. Dre, you're in New York, bro. You got to do right. So that's my worst of the week.
I like it. Take the greatest thing there is and whittle it down to nothing.
I'm not saying he didn't play well. The worst thing was that missed free throw.
I think you would say, it's like when you're watching a movie that's really, really doing great, and then there's one thing, and that stands out more, and it makes you just angry because the rest of it was so good, and you thought it could have been great.
It's like that new OJ show.
Oh, is it?
The show's basically flawless.
I haven't watched it yet.
Basically flawless.
What's the flaw?
Schwimmer.
Oh.
David Schwimmer.
Oh, no. Don't say it.
Robert Kardashian.
Don't say it. Well, I'm gonna watch that later.
It's really good.
I have an issue with the movie Boondock Saints. I think it's a really good action film.
One of the worst movies ever.
I like it.
It's a popular film, John. Don't worry about it.
Except for one thing, the awful Irish accents in it.
Yeah.
My parents are from Ireland, and when I listen to them talk,
I'm just a fan of that. I'm almost certain Willem Dafoe agreed to do that movie if he could just ad lib every line. It's like, I'm gonna do whatever I want in every scene. And they're like, great, go for it.
Pretty sure Billy Connolly is the only actually Irish actor within.
And that's crazy because he's from Scotland.
Well,
so there you go.
Well,
if you put a wig on Chuck, you got Billy Connolly.
That's your little nuts. My cream of wheat is the creamiest and weediest of all. I played my race cards right this time, boys.
What does that mean?
I set this one up. I went with the boogie and the Black History Month. Now I'm going to bitch and moan about there being no white guys in the All-Star game.
Oh, man. I didn't even know that.
Has this ever happened?
I don't know.
There's no white guys in the All-Star game.
First of all, is there none?
Can we put Mark Price in there? Is it too late? Tom Chambers?
Let me look it up.
I know people were saying J.J. Redick got snubbed, which he did not.
Oh, to hell. I mean, it's the right move. Even Dirk didn't make it. But yeah, there's no white guys.
That's hilarious. It hadn't occurred to me, John.
Son of a beastie.
Oh, wow. That is, yeah, the first NBA All-Star game in the history of the league without one white player.
Can we have Dolph Shay show up, or is he actually dead? Dolph Shay's just died, didn't
we? Just, yeah.
I think that's a fair explanation of why Sting was named as the...
he dreams like, of we don't,
It's like the David Stern being concerned about the urban image.
Right.
Making him wear sports coats.
Can't wear do-rags.
So Adam Silver's like, let's get Sting. You're telling me J.J. Redick didn't make it?
Let's get the whitest guy there is.
Let's get Sting.
He does yoga and can have sex for 19 hours. What does he got in there?
You think we can get him to do one of his lute songs?
Oh, God. Lute,
what was the
world music.
What was that John...
Pan flute.
I dream of her.
That was the loudest thing I've ever heard.
Sorry for blowing out the recording equipment.
Fields of gold.
All right. Those were our cream of wheats. All right, guys. Before we get to our Waffle House Presents, the scattered, smothered, covered thoughts, I want to let you guys know about Fan Essentials. Fan Essentials sponsors our Grizzlies Epilogue. They are a subscription service where you can get all kinds of NBA gear. I got a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to get $145 worth of NBA gear for just $35?
I would.
Exactly.
Thinking about it.
Go to fanessentials.net. You pick your team and then subscribe, and every month you will get a bunch of amazing NBA gear sent to your house. This is a great Valentine's Day gift for yourself or for your loved ones. Each fan box comes packed full with lots of goodies. Great idea.
What an ingenious, some would say essential, idea.
Exactly. Prices start at just $14.99. Visit fanessentials.net. Get all the essentials you need. All right. Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. The aforementioned Warriors-Sixers game that was two teams separated in the standings by 40 games after 45 played or something.
Say what?
Incredibly close, incredibly exciting.
Oh, I know why.
What is that?
When Nicki Minaj was there. You guys don't know that? When Nicki Minaj is at a Philly game, they are now 2-1. Their only loss being...
Oh, they were 2-0 with Nicki Minaj.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they like playing in front of her for some reason, and I don't know why.
It's like when the celebrity's there, you try to impress them.
Mm-hmm. Is Nicki Minaj the lady with the large posterior or the white woman who pretends to be the lady with the large posterior?
She's the former.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, Nicki's apparently ups the testosterone of the players.
That makes
players.
Sense. Well, a lot of guys, you know, like the celebrities in the audience. You
know. I know when I was in middle school,
Maybe she got ish with Ish Smith?
Maybe.
You think the cannonball? He's
very possible.
Saying you were trying to impress the cheerleaders.
When
back
I was
in middle
school, I was running layup drills like it was going out of style because I wanted the Puerto Rican head cheerleader to
right,
do it.
Right. That's a similar to the sport you guys often mock that I've played, Ultimate Frisbee. When we get like a big photographer out there with a big old lens, I'm like, oh, I got to play hard.
Why has that ever happened?
I know, John, you like to put down things you don't know anything about, but...
Who takes photos of Ultimate Frisbee?
We will have our photos of our podcast up on our
Twitter
soon.
Oh, yeah, we can put some up.
Yeah, we take pictures of things we shouldn't take pictures of all the time.
Hey, and look, we get paid hundreds of dollars for this.
Sports are often photographed, John. I don't know if you know
said
this.
Sports. That's like Frisbee billiards.
It's another. It's a sport.
There's the. Fast,
I don't understand what the
fastest way to get Keith upset is to talk poorly about Ultimate Frisbee.
Actually, actual consternation.
To have portly gentlemen explain to you what a sport is the.
We're all fat guys now.
Look, I'll put you. I'll break you down in the block. I'll Zeebo that.
Yeah, so that game, I don't know. What it was a tale of two halves almost.
It was a tale of two halves. The Warriors vomited up 70 points in like no time, 18 or 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they assumed they had it wrapped up, but the Sixers, to their credit, to Nicki Minaj's.
It was
credit.
Draymond Green hunting that triple double.
Hunting the triple dub. It also.
He admitted to it.
It was, I felt like it gave the Sixers fan like their most joy. They gave this warm, hearty ovation. I almost felt like they had maybe carte blanche to make another move there, to cut a popular player in that moment. to commit to some more years.
They should have snuck it in the press release before the end of the night. Robert Covington traded for Ryan Hollins.
And Robert Covington is back in force.
Hey.
He, after them being put on the bench, maybe getting a little role player
Can't
action.
Keep a good thief down.
Mm-hmm. Iguodala.
I feel like Robert Covington would be a hell of an Ultimate Frisbee player.
I think could find the NBA is probably stuffed full of
one of my
you know it's a good sport when your dog's better at it than you.
I think Manu Ginobili, as I always thought, would be an incredible.
Oh hell yes,
ultimate frisbee player.
He's
especially
got the moves.
Those left hand.
Yeah,
those
moves. Yeah. Ambidextrous.
Love
it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? What's that? What's next on our docket?
I would say let's talk about one
Hornacek.
Yeah, Horny is gone. So
does that mean his daughter's gone?
I think
Yama will cry.
She's probably still employed, I'm guessing. So this is everything about the Suns has already been laid out by other writers' podcasts. We know it was a mess what they had set up.
Right.
I think the game before he got fired was hilarious. I think they're playing the Knicks, mm-hmm. and if you watch the first 5 minutes, I think they had 9 turnovers. In the first 5 minutes, maybe 5 or 6 of the worst lob passes I'd ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
absolutely.
And it was like, imagine Matthew Dellavedova, but worse at throwing lobs.
Like a Trey Burke-esque lob.
And it was really...
That's the only sub-deli lob.
So in retrospect, it makes me feel like, did they go out in that game and be like, I'm not even going to throw this ball. It's going to be... But anyway, so Earl Watson was picked from a weird... Post-firing, let's interview our... We have no idea who we're going to hire. Let's interview
Apparently,
our guys.
Apparently, Muggsy Bogues wasn't available.
Yeah. So, he did, however, roll out a new lineup that seemed to make more sense. Apparently, Markieff Morris, not angry at Earl Watson. He came out and played hard. 30 points, what, 11 rebounds, 6
Markieff
assists?
Markieff balled out.
Well, it's Markieff now.
Right. What do you mean?
That wasn't him before.
Oh, right.
Well, yeah, they switched.
Well, so this is actually...
A long-standing conspiracy.
This has been a long-standing conspiracy that actually this season it was actually Markieff who went to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus was the one still on the Suns because knowing he was going to be in the doghouse and not play that much, mm-hmm. Marcus, who had, you know, I don't want to say rode the coattails, but had used maybe Markieff to get
rode
some money.
The pine tails, maybe?
And so the guy who was balling out early in the year in Detroit, we think was Markieff.
That's amongst right. the league's leaders in minutes played.
Almost certain. And Markieff, the quote Markieff in Phoenix, who we really know is Marcus.
Was Marcus.
Saw a precipitous drop in his field goal percentage. We just saw a player turn into someone else. And there's only one way that could happen. A reverse, double reverse parent trap.
Oh,
do you guys know?
Wait, is this a fully fledged?
Is this Haley Mills or Lindsay Lohan?
I want to know, is this a Chuck's Turkey Bacon conspiracy theory of the week?
Bet your ass.
Oh, nice.
So this is what we have here. Obviously, these two brothers love playing together, but hated playing in Phoenix because if you look at the organization, you can't blame them.
Like Robert, you do.
Robert Sarver's about an idiot. And while they've made some great draft picks, had some really head-scratching...
Some draft picks that kind of would replace the aforementioned Morai twins.
See? So they've been replaced. They know they're about to be ushered out. So they say, hey, how do we get out of here?
They also have some outstanding legal troubles.
Well, I said, yeah. That's part of it.
Well, they tried to get out together that way.
They wanted to get out.
They wanted to go to jail together.
Because really, what do you say when you get in trouble for fighting? What's the one thing you say when nothing really happened?
It was the guy in the hoodie?
He said something about my mama.
Right.
Right.
So their first attempt to get out of Phoenix was that fight. Then they finally got traded, and we had Marcus as Markieff. And
gets very confusing,
doesn't it? So confusing.
So Marcus got sent to the Pistons.
As Marcus.
But Markieff went.
Right. Markieff actually went to the Pistons, started playing well.
Marcus stayed home.
Marcus stayed home, played like a jerk as Markieff, but then something happened. They said, we finally figured out a way to do this.
Yeah.
They both were going to be playing in Toronto on consecutive nights.
That's not actually true, but very close. Listen, you're very close. I'm going to help Chuck out on his turkey bacon conspiracy. Chuck thinks, because they played in consecutive games, that Toronto, Detroit, and Phoenix all shared a court. That's not even true.
No.
Detroit journeyed to Toronto.
That's what it was.
Markieff, who is under the guise of Marcus, stows away in the Toronto plane and journeys to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Wherein he escapes. Marcus stows into the plane. Markieff, who's now under the guise, excuse me, Markieff is now under the guise of his own very persona, has the best game of the season for him.
Right.
Next the very thing, next
so day. this is a double reverse parent trap when you're actually back with the right parent.
Right.
Right.
And they think you're the wrong one.
Yes.
But then the next day after he drops 30, gets 30 and 11.
What does Steinemo say?
Who's looking for him? Who's trying to get him
Mark
on his
Stein
team?
Says the Raptors are interested.
Exactly. So this all makes
it's
sense.
Working it's working out.
So just like that, the Morai twins have orchestrated their way out of Phoenix.
It's almost incredible.
I like how in John's version of events, the only way to get from Toronto to Phoenix is to stow aboard a team plane.
For millionaires.
Yeah. I am a millionaire. How will I possibly get to this other city?
Oh, well, I think it's there's definitely holes, as they are in all conspiracies. It's all about faith.
No, seems pretty airtight to me.
Okay. As long as you guys know it.
That's pretty good. And that was Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory.
There will be a flow chart on our Twitter later showing you.
Yeah, we'll try to pinpoint
Chuck and I may or
exactly
may have not
when the Mark Even Mark is crossed over.
We may or may have not done a timeline at the bar on a cocktail napkin.
That's fantastic. You guys see.
Speaking of cocktail napkins,
what is this?
I Uh-oh. Have.
Oh, John is pulling something from his wallet.
I have a game of scones.
Oh,
we're that just, I constructed.
We
on
are
a cocktail
packing
napkin.
all this segments back to back.
I hate to cut Scattered, Smothered, and Covered short, but...
Might as well. It's about
boy,
time.
I spent a lot of time on this.
This is a hand... I want to express to our listeners, this is like a folded-up napkin where like he had the idea for the flux capacitor and had to draw it immediately upon hitting his head, falling off the toilet.
I tried to borrow a pen from the bartender. He told me there was no pen. I said, there is a entire cup of pens in to your left.
Right.
So you just don't trust me.
He said there's no pins for customers.
So I just took a pin and
all it. Right. So this is a game of scones. Tell us, John.
This ties into Chuck's aforementioned mention of LeBron's three-point woes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the option to select Eastern or Western Conference.
Okay.
After that, I'm going to give you the option. I'm not going to give you an option at all. I'm going to give you a team, and you have to tell me the team leader in three-point attempts. Or said team.
Okay, sounds good.
Not three-pointers made, three-point attempts.
Okay.
So it may not necessarily be the best player or even the best shooter. It's just
so,
a man.
So we get to pick a conference?
Absolutely.
And you're just going to throw them out?
And I'm going to give you a team. The first person to miss three players loses.
Okay.
I'd say
Keith, you are the champion, so I'm going to let you go first.
Western Conference.
I will give you Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz. I'm going to say... Rodney Hood.
That is correct.
Nice.
He is 27th with 238. That's such an impressive pick because Gordon Hayward is 28th with 238.
Oh. That's what I would have went with.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So maybe that's bad for you strategically because mm-hmm. he would have missed that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of missing things, Chuck, it's your turn, Eastern or West?
Well, let's go Easty.
East, we will go with the Detroit Pistons.
Reggie Jackson.
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
I would guess it's KCP. Mm. Kinsane Clown Posse?
That is correct.
Yeah.
24th.
Kinsane.
243.
And the steal. I'm done.
Now there's no steals, but one strike for Chuck.
Keith, East or West?
Keep it West.
Let's go with the New Orleans Pelicans.
I would hope it's Ryan Anderson.
Incorrect, actually. Ryan Anderson finished 20th. Six spots ahead of him was Eric Gordon, 14th, yep. 268.
Fair enough. One strike apiece.
Let's go West.
West. Okay, Chuck. We're going to go with the Houston Rockets.
James Harden.
That is correct. Second with 401. Hmm. Keith, your selection.
Take West.
Let's go with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
You would hope it's Kevin Durant. I'm going to go with that.
That is correct. Kevin Durant, 18th with 200.
It would be sad. It would be sad if Russell Westbrook or Kyle Singler had overtaken
him. It really would be. But, you know, I would have guessed Westbrook right. if it had been me. I really would have.
Right.
Let's go West.
West. Whoa, we're just close this out.
Pounding the Western Conference.
All right. You're making this happen to yourself.
Okay.
Portland Trailblazers.
CJ McCollum.
Oh, very nice guess. He's only two slots behind the one and only Dame Lillard.
I feel like you psyched yourself out there, Chuck.
Sixth with 340.
Man, it seems to me. I feel like you overthought that one.
So close.
You knew it was one of those two guys.
It was.
I want to keep pounding the West.
Keith Powell. Oh, boy. Denver Nuggets.
Denver Ooh. Nuggets. I think it has to be Danilo Gallinari.
Oh, you're way off.
Really?
Will Barton.
Really?
That's how he scores all of his points.
I mean, I know he's a chucker. I know he's a chucker. I wouldn't have thought he would be ahead by that much.
I'm sure his percentage does not equal Danilo's, but doesn't get him. Danilo is a full 20 slots behind him. Will Barton, 42nd with 202. So that is two misses for each of you.
That's right.
Sweet.
Chuck, right. You want the East or the West?
I feel like I should go West because I know there's a good team there that I know the answer to.
We have done one Eastern team, but we're going to stick with the West.
How about we just throw out the Warriors?
Okay, let's give Chuck the Warriors.
No, I'm saying don't even count it.
Okay,
we know it's Steph Curry.
That's why I was playing. Okay, I'll do the East. Then I'll do the East.
Yeah, so we're not even playing the Warriors.
Okay. East, let's do Atlanta.
Al Korver.
Correct. 22nd with 245.
I would have hedged and hawed, hemmed and hawed for a while there, trying to figure out if someone else had tried more than him.
Oh, Jeffy Teague. Yeah. Keith.
All right.
East or West?
East.
East.
For fun.
Boston Celtics.
Man, that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm. It is a hard one.
That could be any number of people. I'll guess Avery Bradley because he's always shooting.
He is second on their team.
Did Isaiah 19th. Thomas?
It was Isaiah Thomas with 10th.
Yep.
That's 291.
Tied. All right. Three for me.
Chuck.
You have to close the win.
Or we tied. Are we tied in defeat?
I'm going to make this very easy for Chuck. Miami Heat.
Oh, it's Miami Heat.
Chris Bosh.
Correct.
That's a great guess.
Well done.
Way
the game had to end. 40th with 207 attempts.
Miami Heat's Chris Bosh from the three-point shootout.
Interestingly, getting back to our race card, J.J. Redick and Kyle Korver, exact same number of attempts.
Mm. Oh.
Conspiracy.
What does it mean? Illuminati. All right. I think that brings us to the awards segment of the evening. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is given each week to the worst performance in a box score. We don't have any honorable mentions, but we have a crowded field of five nominees. This is as they occurred chronologically through the week. Nick Batum in a loss to Portland in a revenge game of sorts.
Is this his return game or is he still out?
No, he played. And he went
and how
1 for 11 with 3 points and 6 turnovers.
Not sure that's called playing.
He did have 8 assists.
He's just playing.
4 rebounds, block and a steal. 1 for 11, 3 points. Defending champ Boogie Cousins in a loss to the Memphis. Straight trash. 3 for 17. He did somehow turn that into 17 points and 14 rebounds, but 6 turnovers.
Hey,
Andrew Wiggins. Also in a loss to Portland. What are you doing? 3 for 18. This man also, 15 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, 3 turnovers. No fouls. Are you even trying? Archie Goodwin, and this might be the worst game. 1 for 11, 3 points, no assists, 3 turnovers. Pretty brutal, but I feel bad for Archie. He's been thrust into a heavy load.
He's been heavily added in fantasy rosters everywhere.
That he has. The fantasy light is going off.
Who did he dunk on? Didn't he dunk? Can he flush on somebody this week?
Markieff baptized Jonas Valanciunas, I believe.
Like you do. Like Eastern Orthodox baptism.
And let's be real. I've just been wasting time. Our fifth and final nominee.
We all know.
Jrue Holiday.
Done.
1 for 14. 4 points, 4 assists. Yeah.
Let's go over. Let's see who it was against.
In a loss to the Grizzlies.
Yes.
So two of these were to the Grizzlies. That's like 24. That's like 2014-15 Grizzlies, yes. Where we were putting a lot of iShop candidates.
Having watched that game, I say it's Drew hands down.
So not even having watched, pretending I didn't watch that game. Well, let's go to Chuck, who didn't watch that game.
Uh-huh.
1 for 14 is spectacular.
Yeah, that's really bad. I'll go with that one.
So congratulations.
I really wanted to make a joke with Archie Babwin, but no.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jrue Holiday. You are this week's
The Damager Indeed.
International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. And now for a very special moment. This day in iShop history.
Keith gets so excited about this.
15 years ago, in 2001, 7 for 34 from the field.
Vince Carter.
Jerry Stackhouse.
But who did he punch afterwards over a poker bet?
Saint Jerry Stackhouse in victory. 7 for 34 from the field. Scored 21 points.
I think this calls for something.
It is the only time in history a player has shot the ball 30 times and missed 75% of them.
Wow.
It is the worst shooting percentage on anyone over 30 field goal attempts. All right, now, guys, the par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to?
Probably all the same thing, right?
The following week. I'll tell you one thing I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is a cross-sport promotion.
Oh, yeah.
On Super Bowl Sunday, mm-hmm. internet friends and Nashville friends, John and Chuck, are rabbling this big game.
The one that we've been waiting for.
The one we can't say legally.
The one they tried to blow up in Black Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That movie is
Robert Shaw tried to blow awesome. That up. Yes, it is.
Check out Black Sunday. It's been on the MGM channels. If you need Comcast subscribers, it's been available.
Good looking out, Keith.
So there's a big football game on Sundays once a year, and we're going to talk and rabble over it. And basically, John and I have decided to bring in a bunch of Nashville stand-up comedians to do interesting commentary during the game. And I think everybody will enjoy it. So if you could, in Nashville, come check it.
So Nashville people, it's at the East Room. The game's at 5:30 Central Time, and it's free. You can mm-hmm. come out there and watch them do it live and watch the game.
Right. Internet, Chuck, all his stand-up comedian friends, and then me.
And yeah. John. And internet people, rest of our listeners, go to rabble.tv. You can follow the Fast Break Breakfast. They'll be broadcasting under our name there because we're, you know, two of the three is not bad. That's a quorum.
Hey, 66.6 repeating.
Not bad.
A little demonic.
Also on the get your Rabble apps, and you can listen then. Also, we'll be doing a Grizzlies game later, February 21st, also in Nashville.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. Can the Oklahoma City Thunder continue this torrential run?
They've been running it.
They have been.
It's like we've really whittled it down just a handful of teams.
Mm-hmm. That we have.
There is this giant clump. It's fun. There's this giant clump of like 20 teams that are pretty good. And there's like four teams that are terrible.
And yet,
then there's four teams that are kind of in it.
And yet I refuse to lend too much credence to the narrative that only a few teams can win it because you just never know. We're always just a few injuries away from the parity that they want so badly.
So what is the, if I were to place a bet on the Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Cavs, I'm losing on the VIG. Jeez. I mean, because one of those four is going to win.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I think you'll be. I think you have to pay quite a bit of money to bet against it.
Right.
Right now, I think Don Best, which is a terrible sports book, but Bovada have the Warriors kind of at even money ish.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's kind of. I don't think this could happen in years past, but in the age we live in, where like it's kind of like a snowball effect. Now that's where we are. Chuck, what are you looking forward to next week?
I'm trying to, you know, keep up the good Andre Drummond terrible free throw.
He has fallen off even another cliff.
I'm just rooting for him to just be awful some more. And you know, you're really good. Just the thing with free throws is that every player in the league has to work on it. And not every player is going to get good at it. If every player in the league had to work on spin step crossovers or Dirk fadeaways, we wouldn't be angry at them if they weren't that good at it. And you know what? You're all right every other way on the court. So don't worry about those free throws.
It's
a thing.
It's just out of control. He's shooting it. Like, I clearly thought he should make the All-Star game, and I'm starting to, like, fade because it's becoming such a huge deal.
He's shooting
Aaron Baines is, like, taking up time now. Because
he's shooting worse from the free throw line than the rest of the league is shooting from three.
Ew. Is that real?
Percentage-wise, yeah.
Not great. Dearest. I think I'm also, the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is, will this rookie class keep being such a treat?
So good.
I mean,
yeah, we never even talked about Miles Turner.
Like Miles,
LeBron.
Miles Turner, the block of LeBron was incredible, and just him getting playing time, he looks amazing. I'm watching all these Suns games just to see Devin Booker play all these trash minutes, but he looks great. You have the Moutier, who is the like in the shadow of Jokic. You have Karl-Anthony Towns putting up numbers we've pretty much never seen from someone this young. He's one of the best players in the league, and you're just wishing he would play like 34 minutes a game.
He's kind of the new, well, boy, there's so many people we didn't talk about.
There's so Sam Mitchell said he hated Kobe Bryant.
We didn't get it. We didn't get into my hopes in the game of scones.
Yeah.
Was to get into this team doesn't shoot threes.
Which team? Oh, the Timberwolves. Right.
And Sam Mitchell, the only thing I remember about him is that he shot threes.
It's really strange.
And, what a world.
And also their best lineup, which I think all fans are kind of like, why is Tayshaun still playing? Their best three-man lineup, Bill, they all have Tayshaun in them.
Yeah, but that's you adjusting the narrative. You're a monster.
I am a monster.
That's a team that is horrible, and their best lineup is therefore restricted to
their
ability.
We also didn't mention Zach LaVine had that stretch where he hit 21 of 24 shots stretched over two games.
By the way, Zach LaVine, just to keep it going, Zach LaVine was their leading three-point attempts, and he finished about 90th. Let me find it. Yes, exactly 90th with 151, behind the likes of J.J. Barea.
Oh, wow.
That's a poorly run team.
That's a man you wouldn't want to mess with.
Yeah.
J.J. Barea, that is.
I just want to congratulate you guys and us as a podcast for not talking about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors at all.
Bravo. Let's do a slow clap as we close it out.
I think we should be very, very proud of that.
Yep. All right. So thank you guys for listening. You guys check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Write us a review in iTunes. Hey, buy a funny shirt. Brent Berry wore our shirt on the starters.
Huge news.
How could we forget?
That was so exciting.
So exciting. Thank you.
We are small people, and that made our lives. Thank you guys for listening. You're the best. And remember, stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. And breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. A 3-0 week. Since we were last together.
It's not so much that we went 3-0. So we went 3-0 in Keith's worst scenario possible.
You keep painting me as a Jeff Green hater, and it's not true.
No, I actually understand that they're using Jeff Green the way that you would prefer.
Right.
And it's actually working.
I always thought as a streaky scorer, he'd be fine. He's on fire.
Right.
In a spectacular fashion. He has been in four straight games. He's not only led the team in scoring, he's been the game high scorer off the bench in four straight games. Last time that happened, Thunder Dan Marley.
And Thunder Dan Marley is like coaching a school that has like 16 names right now, too.
Really?
Like Coastal Butthole Carolina.
They're the Pirates, I believe.
But in one of the games, it's the best I've ever seen the Grizzlies shoot ever.
Well, the Pelicans game?
Yes. I've never seen him shoot like that ever.
So here's what I want to say. The Grizzlies are now, they're 9 games over 500, I think.
That's a good buffer for the fall to come.
Exactly. They honestly have, I think, the 6th or 7th best record in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where we, again, if you don't look at the specifics, you just look at the standings, like, that's where we thought they'd be.
I believe Zach Lowe said the grit and grind Grizzlies are back, which was funny.
He said it very tongue-in-cheek. I know Twitter is just a printed medium, and you have to imply.
I thought it was funny.
I was pretty sure that was tongue-in-cheek, because he also said, like Jeff Green, Vince Carter are here to stay.
Yeah, forever. Yeah.
So my take on the three games and this month of January and the coming month of February, the schedule is so easy. The Grizzlies are beating no one. This is pyrite.
Let's get that fourth seed.
This is fool's gold. Oh, we could get the fourth seed.
Let's get that fourth seed.
So here's the thing. The tax man comes in April. The Grizzlies schedule in April is where the bill is due.
Right.
They play Spurs, Warriors, like 4 games out of 5.
Why don't you go ahead and sell those tickets, Keith? As a season ticket, why don't you sell them right now?
Done and done. They're gone. No, this team is, I mean, you look at the Pelicans game where they shot 61%. They were tied in the fourth quarter of that game against a Pelicans team, which for most of the game was only playing two guys who could score, and one of those guys was Norris Cole. Like, they were in a dogfight when all of a sudden the magic beans that are Vince Carter and Jeff Green started hitting every shot. Vince Carter hit three straight threes when it was a one-possession game in the fourth.
And, I mean, this kind of serves as a corollary to something that I've found as a degenerate.
Right.
That Grizzlies over in any game is a lock.
They have scored over 100 points.
Yeah, in like six, seven straight games.
Nine straight games, yeah, franchise record.
So do we think Jeff Green is just a talented player that can't start or he needs to come off the bench? What is Jeff Green's deal?
I feel like he plays better against lesser players. like one would.
Do you now, doctor?
I mean, yeah, you think so, doctor? Yeah.
Now
why wouldn't he do better against the second unit?
First of all, his last four games are inexplicable.
Oh.
I'm fine with that. I mean, there's the swings of momentum. I mean, the swings of momentum of shooting,
but
the runs, statistical.
Celtics fans would warn you about this.
Right, and I've seen these Jeff Green games. This was the type of thing where when the Grizzlies traded for Jeff Green, I was like, you're going to get an offensive explosion every night. This is a guy who can't consistently hit a shot, but he goes off on these scores. The thing I've liked, again, this is what we talked about, the second unit playing as more of a four, mm-hmm. like sharing the court with like Matt Barnes and then one big. And then it's like he has the opportunity to get to the rim because he's taken bigger guys to the rim, and then he gets going. So then when his three-point shot's on, again, this Pelicans game was silly. Because, I mean, Jeff Green and Vince Carter and Mike Conley were 70% on threes, and I think all shots outside of the paint, which is like they're going to win every game if that happens.
Last question for me. Every time he makes a shot, do you guys get excited his trade value goes up?
I don't think he's very tradable, so no.
I'm very confused. I don't understand what they would get with him or for him because I don't know where he fits on other teams.
Plus, Jaeger is deep in his butt, so
he really seems to enjoy him. And so, I mean, honestly, I feel like he helps the team in this role. I'm more concerned about the glut of everything else. I'm concerned about Ryan Hollins. I feel like Ryan Hollins. I do want to say he's getting a lot of grief for taking Jermichael Green's minutes.
They're not similar players.
They're not similar players because at least Ryan Hollins, when he is cutting to the rim, people are still guarding him, even though you don't need to. He'll catch that alley-oop every now and then, but he blows it a lot, and a lot of times he lands and then loses on his way back up.
I think Ryan Hollins is, for all intents and purposes, worthless.
He is. He played one of his worst games. It was a comically bad game in the Pelicans game, and they finally put in Jermichael in the second half, and Jermichael was really sharp when he came in.
I think Jermichael deserves minutes. Every time I read on Grizz Twitter that we've given another 10-day contract to Hollins, I'm dismayed. I get that we need someone at that position, but let's try someone else.
Right.
Anyone else.
Although his 10 days are soon. You can't sign that many in a row.
Right.
He's on number two. Going back to the Bucks game was actually one of my most excited. That was the first game where they actually just clicked. They were killing. But a lot of that was Matt Barnes got hot in the second half.
Hot doesn't cover it.
And I know a lot of NBA is you can always come up with like, well, if this hadn't happened and this hadn't happened. So I'm trying to sit and enjoy that the Grizzlies are winning.
He was as hot as a man who came home to discover his ex-wife was sleeping with one of his former teammates. That's how hot his temper was.
Almost.
Is that a
thing that happened?
It's like a country. It's like a fictional country song,
that's
John.
That's Matt Barnes.
It's like a fictional Porter Wagoner song.
Matt Barnes.
So, and then in the Kings game, they barely won. Boogie couldn't hit a shot. Rondo played one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen in my life.
Let's talk about Marc Gasol's defensive resurgence.
He is. Oh, the block from behind on Boogie driving, where he hit it up against the stanchion.
We're saying Boogie couldn't hit a shot. Marc Gasol got deep in his head, and they were battling, and Marc Gasol won that battle physically and mentally.
It was exciting to see. Another battle that was won this week by a Grizzly player, Zebo, after being abused by Anthony Davis for years.
Got him.
It was so, that was exciting. Like Boogie, I mean, Zebo was just going right at Anthony Davis. I actually felt bad for the Pelicans. Like their season has not gone well to the point that Anthony Davis is not the same.
They should tank it up. It's over.
It's shook him? And a guy like that who's seen consistent, obviously dominant success most of his life goes into a team where it's constant rebuild and has to work on his psyche.
That's the structure, the system we've built, unfortunately.
He also has the specter of if he doesn't make all NBA.
Yeah, that's like a $13 million mistake.
$25 million. I mean, it's spread out over years, and the tax man takes half, so you can trick yourself it's only a million or two a year.
Yeah.
but and, I'll take
and,
it.
In summation.
He already spent that.
We know this is that foggy Pyrex pyrite.
That's right.
But you know what? Let's enjoy it while we can.
Let's enjoy it while we can. And I'm telling you, the Grizzlies could legitimately run February.
Sure.
Like the schedule is it's Suns and Lakers everywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's, I mean, it starts with,
and that's what I'd like to see the young guys get minutes.
It starts with this weekend.
I'd like to see some different 10-day contracts.
You got some Knicks. You got some Mavs. Those are the ones you got to take care of. Yeah. No, I would, I'm at a loss for what other 10-day they'll bring in. I still feel like they do actually need a center, but I don't know. Right now, I feel like what's going to happen is they're going to win most of these games, and then they're going to be like 33-23. And we're like, oh, cool. Like, the Grizzlies are fine. They're firmly entrenched. And then the schedule's going to tighten up. It's going to be a mess. And then you get to the playoff time, and it's just going to be that.
Let's just stay in that 4-5 range. And
4-5 and play.
Be frosty.
Yeah. Hopefully Blake will come right to us. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. Check out Fan Essentials. Also, check out Rabble.tv
and Hardwood Paroxysm.
Oh yeah, we now actually have some things in print. John's been writing on some round tables, and
it's hard to read. Trades. My penmanship is almost illegible.
That's why they have editors.
Ah, yeah.
Perfect. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. You are the best.
Arrive safely.